Well, turn to Proverbs chapter 6, please. One of my favorite books was Proverbs. Years ago, I was really into athletics and physical culture. I used to be a trainer, and some of the trainees that I had went on to win championships, believe it or not. And I used to read up on nutrition and all of this, and when I first got saved, I got a lot of sustenance from two books, Proverbs and Psalms. One of the physical people that I used to follow in my unsaved days, nothing wrong with being a physical culturist, but this man, he was a pioneer, and he found that he could live for a whole year without any physical defects on two things, peanuts and milk. I thought, wow, I wouldn't want to try that. But my point is, you can go a long way in God's Word, and I don't suggest that you do this in only two books, Proverbs and Psalms. Proverbs and Psalms. But you know what? You need to have a balanced part of God's Word, and one of the things that God's Word is good for, is good for so many things, it feeds the Christian, and it feeds the unsaved some valuable knowledge. If you're not saved yet, and I don't know that everybody here is saved, that's all right. Everybody starts out as an unsaved person. You're not born saved. In fact, you're born lost. And some people don't realize it, but God's Word is good for that too. Abraham Lincoln, we all know who that is, there's not one country in the world, well maybe there is now, not one country in the world up to about in the 1970s, we have a lot of new countries now, not one country in the world at that time did not have a statue somewhere of Abraham Lincoln. Now, why do I say that? Well, Abraham Lincoln needed to be saved. Even though he was well-regarded in all the world, and he grew up at his mother's knee, you might say, reading the Bible. You know when Abraham Lincoln got saved? He got saved just before he was assassinated. He read the Bible, believed it was God's word, but he never came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ until just before, it was just after the Civil War ended and just before he was assassinated, and I believe it was in the month of April. And how I know that is because he wrote a letter to a dear friend of his who was a Christian, and he wrote a letter telling, in his handwriting, he said how he came finally to the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham Lincoln was a broken man before he died. He was a broken man before he got saved. Let me say one thing. Before anybody gets saved, before anybody is any good to God or any good to anyone else, and I'll say this carefully, you must be broken. You can be broken by life circumstances. When I'm in pain, all I care about is wanting to get out of that pain. And I have a lot of pain, all kinds of pain, every kind of pain almost. We all grieve over loss of loved ones. We all grieve from time to time over financial difficulties. We all grieve over health problems. As you get older, they increase. We all grieve over the pain and stress of life. We grieve. We're sorry about things. Well, for the Christian, those that are already saved, you know what it's for? It's to bring you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not going to get out of this life without pain. And if somebody tries to tell you that when you become a Christian, your pain will cease, God wants you to be rich, healthy, and also, don't listen to that. They're after your money. You'll notice after they tell you that, you've got to support them with money. They ask you for money, these TV evangelists. Don't listen to them. They're after your money. We're going to get to that. They're a false witness. Your problems don't decrease when you become a Christian. They may increase, but you know what? You're going to be happy. What you really want is happiness. You don't want an absence of problems. That's not what you're really after. What you're really after is you're going to have problems, but you want to be able to be happy through the problems. There's a verse in the last verse, in fact, of the Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Some people think that's the worst thing that can happen to a human being. It's not. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." Look, friend, if you're not saved, God is not with you. And you're going to have problems, and you're going to have troubles, whether saved or unsaved. I have more problems. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I have more problems now than I've ever had in my entire life. And I've been saved for over 40 years. I was saved in 1969. Doesn't mean my problems have gone away. They've increased. But you know what? I'm happier now than I've ever been in my entire life. And I can say that honestly. And I want to show you something from God's Word. If you're saved or unsaved, this message here in Proverbs chapter 6, God says this: "These six things does the Lord hate." He's talking about God the Father. See where it says all capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D? That's God the Father. Capital L, small o, small r, small d, that's God the Son. This is God the Father we're talking about here. "Six things does the Lord hate." Yes, seven are an abomination unto him. Verse 17 says it's a proud look. That's number one on our thing. Let me turn to Luke chapter 18. God hates this. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke against it. In Luke chapter 18, you remember the parable of the scribe and the Pharisee? In verse 9 it says, "And he spoke," that's the Lord Jesus, God the Son, speaking, "he spoke this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee," that's a religious leader, "and the other a tax collector, a publican, one that was hated by everyone, including the Pharisees. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself," not to God. He said, "God, I pray, thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector right here. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes. That's one-tenth of all that I possess." And he's bragging to God about what he would do. This man thought he was actually on his way to heaven. God says, no. Religion will never save you. And it'll never put you right with God. This man was as religious as they come. He was proud of it. But he wasn't saved. Look what the Lord Jesus Christ said about the tax collector in verse 13. "And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." You must be broken. This publican, tax collector, was broken before God. Why do people have trouble? The world is just full of trouble. You need to be broken. What does it mean? You have to be prostrate on the ground? No, it doesn't mean that. It means you have to be broken, and matter of fact, you have to come to an end of yourself. God will touch you right where it hurts to get your attention. He will. He'll do it. He's done it to me. He's done it to everybody I know, saved or unsaved. My brother, I was just talking to one of the boys upstairs during the break, and told him how one of my brothers got saved. My brother had to be broken to get saved, just like I had to be broken to get saved. God touched what I treasured most, and he took it away from me to get my attention. and he brought me to my knees. And he did it over a period of 11 years. I remember it well, believe me. I was just young, but I remember it. Made a big impression on me, and I finally got saved. Now, he's had to caught my attention many times since then, but I'm never because I wasn't saved, but because he had to get my attention to live closer to him. This publican was broken. Abraham Lincoln was broken. Everyone that gets saved has to be broken somehow before God will deal with them. Now, I'm telling you the gospel. Jesus Christ said, "Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." Why would anybody want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why? The Lord Jesus Christ, when people were following him, like, for instance, in John chapter 6, in fact, that's part of my notes, John chapter 6, we'll get into that. The Lord Jesus Christ fed these people, he fed the multitude, and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ for the wrong reason. They wanted more food. So the Lord Jesus Christ, every time somebody followed the Lord Jesus Christ for the wrong reason, they tried to make him a king, or they tried to do something else, they wanted to follow him. The Lord Jesus Christ always said something. If they followed him for the wrong reason, he would always say something to put them off. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't want you to follow him for the wrong reason. When he says, "Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out," look at all the people that came to the Lord Jesus Christ. When they came to him for the right reason, then he met their need. When they were broken enough and finding out that money didn't make them happy, you think money will make you happy? It won't. I think we all know that, but I'll remind you, look at Hollywood, look at all your sports figures, look at all of these people, they're living it up now, but you can tell by the amount of wives that they've had and the other tragedies in their life and the substance abuse that they go through. If you read the papers or see it on the news, you can see that these people are not happy. So money doesn't bring you happiness. And you might think, "Well, I'll be different." No, you won't. God says that there's no difference because we're all human and we'll all make the same mistake. He says there's none different. There is no difference. All God has concluded us all under sin. Why? That he might have mercy upon each one of us. Now the Christian, if he's living for Christ, and he's not away from the Lord, if he's living for Christ, that Christian is a happy person. What you really want is happiness and satisfaction. If I'm talking to an unsaved person, you have no idea what I'm talking about. If you understand English, I hope I'm plain, but you will never find happiness, no matter how much health you have or how much money you have or how much of anything of this world that you have. That is not where happiness lies. Happiness and satisfaction lies in the Lord Jesus Christ. You haven't been there. If you're not saved, you haven't been there, and so you don't know what I'm talking about. That's where faith comes in. You have to look around you and see other Christians who are not perfect, but they're happy. Something's going on here. If they're happy and I'm not, they've got something I don't have. Now, that's something you can't put in a laboratory and weigh it out or measure it out in any way, because it's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. And we have to take it on faith. But it can be observed. I'm being scientific as much as you can be about a thing called faith. It can be observed because you can see the results of it. Anything that you can see the results of can be observed, naturally. You can't measure it, and you can't dole it out, and you can't buy it, but you can have it. And I'm telling you here, on the basis of God's word, you can have it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, every one of us knows Christians that don't act like Christians. People that are unsaved do not know what God's word says necessarily, but they do know what a Christian ought to be. Isn't that funny? Before you were saved, before I was saved, we all know what a Christian should be, how they should behave. Isn't that funny how we know that? Without even reading the Bible, we know that, how a Christian should be and what they should be. Well, the reason why we know that, that's a gift from God. You can tell. If you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, things are going to get worse. And if you die in your sins, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "Where I am, you cannot come." Now, financial trouble, health trouble, family trouble, job trouble, all kinds of trouble, those won't get you to the Lord Jesus Christ in themselves. What you have to do is say, "Lord, I can't go any farther. I've come to an end of myself, and I need your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, here's things that God will condemn, and I'm not trying to actually condemn anybody. I can't do that, because if I point my finger at you, I've got 1, 2, 3 fingers pointing back at me, and I'm no better than anyone else, but I'm telling you, I've been where you are, wherever your problem is. I've been there, and I've done that, and I'm old now, probably older than anybody in this room except Bob over there, and so I feel a lot better, right, Bob? Okay, but listen, here's another thing that God hates. We saw that the publican in Luke chapter 18 went down to his house justified because he approached God the right way. He said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." If you ask God for that on the basis of the Lord Jesus Christ's work on Calvary's cross, God will answer that prayer. He will. And you will be born again. You'll have eternal life. Doesn't mean your problems will go away, but you're going to feel a lot better, and you're going to live a lot better, regardless of your problems. Let's look at the second thing that God hates. A lying tongue. We saw a proud look that the Pharisee had. You know, God can't save a proud sinner. Can't do it. He says he resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Look at this lying tongue. Where do we get that? A lying tongue. Any, you ever tell a lie? I sure did. I'm ashamed of it. We all lie. We're all liars. Where did that come from? A lying tongue. Look at this in John chapter 6. You'll find out where it comes from. We're going to talk about the father of lies. John chapter 6. Guess who that is? The father of lies. It's one of the titles of Satan. In John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about the father of lies, or was it John chapter 8? Yep, I think it is John chapter 8. I'm sorry. John chapter 8. It says in verse 42, verse 41, he says, "You do the deeds of your father." They said unto him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." They were religious. They thought God was their father. In verse 42, the Lord Jesus said, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word." He says in verse 44, "You are of your father, the devil." Now, this is an interesting statement. Father of your devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer, Satan. He used to be called Lucifer before he was thrown out of heaven, and the word Satan means adversary. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. This is why we lie. If we're not saved, even children will lie. I was caught in quite a few lies as a child. I remember it quite well. I lied. I got to the point where I didn't know what the truth was. I was a real liar. almost pathological now that I think about it. Pathological liars, they'll make up things and they actually start believing them. That's lying. And you hate to be lied to, don't you? Well, you'll lie to yourself after a while. You'll say, I'll never go to hell. How many of us will say that? If you're not saved, that's what you're saying. If you really thought you were going to hell, you wouldn't be unsaved. You're trying to convince yourself that God won't send me to hell. Well, you won't. He won't. You'll send yourself to hell by denying the Lord Jesus Christ. You're lying to yourself. And it comes from, I'm sorry to say it, it comes from the devil. And I don't want to be in that group that the Lord Jesus Christ called a child of Satan, offspring of the devil. Like the Father, like the Son, like the Father, like the Son. I want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a choice to make whether you'll trust Christ or not. God says already that he hates these things. And if we go in for these things and lie to ourselves, we'll deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ by contrast in John chapter 14. The Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now that's quite a statement. Was he telling the truth or was he lying? Now look at it. I am the way, not a way. I am, it's a definite article, not an indefinite article. I am the way, the truth. Nobody else could talk like that and be telling the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What kind of life is he talking about? Now look, friends, you know why you'll go to hell? Not because you're a sinner. We're all sinners, and some of us will go to heaven in spite of the fact that we're sinners. I'm a saved sinner. I try not to sin. And I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm certainly not perfect, but I want the Lord Jesus Christ. Something came in on me. I have new life. I'm born again. I'm saved. You have a new nature as well as the old nature. You know when you see a Christian sinning? You know what you're watching? You're watching his old nature in action. That's what you're watching. He still has it. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You don't have to sin. The Lord Jesus Christ said, sin shall not have dominion. That means lordship over you. You don't have to sin, but we do sin. But the Bible says this for the Christian, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Do I remember every one of my sins? No, I don't. God knows them, and he has put them under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, past, present, and future sins. Now, somebody will say, and I've heard them say it, that means you can be saved and do anything you want to do and get away with it? No. My sins are forgiven, but if I misbehave as one of God's children, God will chastise me. I'll tell you, I got away from the Lord for 5 years. I'll tell you that. I was away from the Lord for 5 years a long time ago. I got away. I didn't run away. But I got away because I never went to meeting. I didn't know where the meeting was. I didn't know this place was even here. I got away from the Lord, and I looked for other Christians to have fellowship with and to gather with, and I couldn't find not a one. And I got away from the Lord gradually, gradually, gradually. And I was more unhappy as a Christian away from the Lord than I was as an unsaved person. I was miserable. Some people looking at me say, you're still miserable. But I was miserable. And I'm telling you the truth. There's chastisement. You won't get away from it. But I'll tell you, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And he loves me, and he loves you too. He doesn't love me any more than he loves you, whether you're in your sins or not. It's a matter of position. I love children, whether they're my child or not. That's the difference. They're not my child. God loves you whether you're his child or not. But I'll tell you what, you can't come into his house in heaven if you die in your sins. He won't let you in. It's only for his children. I take care of my children, and God takes care of his children. If you're not one of God's children, you need to become one of his children. That way your position changes. His love for you doesn't change. It stays the same until you die. Then it's over. Does God love the people in hell? No. No. They used to be his children, in a sense, as far as offspring is concerned. He created everybody. But they were never his child. God has no children in hell. It's a matter of position. And you have a free will as to what position you will have before God. You know why you have a free will? I'll tell you why. Ask yourself this question. Would I rather that someone was forced to love me or that someone was choosing to love me? Answer that. Would you rather have your loved ones choose to love you or be forced to love you? I know your answer. You would rather have them choose to love you, just like I would rather have my loved ones choose to love me out of their own free will. Now, who do you choose to love? Do you choose to love God? Or do you choose to love just yourself? If you choose just to love yourself, there's a word for that in science. They call it psychotic. You're psychotic. All a psychotic loves is himself. That's a psychosis. That's where you get your sociopaths, your psychopaths, and all your other paths. And those paths are going in the wrong direction, away from God and even away from human love. That's where you get your serial killers. Every one of them is a psychopath. All they care about is getting their own thrills by hurting other people. You see it to its logical conclusion. It's a path of destruction. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about God. The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ created us. It wasn't just God the Father. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, before he became a man. The Bible says in Colossians, you could look it up, he made all things, and by him all things consist. That means everything that you see here was made by the Lord Jesus Christ before he became a man in order that he might die for our sins. Why, Jesus Christ, while I'm on the subject, and it's the subject of Christ, let me just tell you this again. The reason why Jesus Christ became a man, we just celebrated his birth yesterday. The reason why is because God has said, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Before the Lord Jesus Christ became a man, there was no forgiveness of sin as far as God was concerned, because all the blood sacrifices of bulls and goats could only cover sin for a season. You know why God said make animal sacrifices? Because of their obedience to do those sacrifices. That is what God looked at, the obedience that was involved in all of that money and all of those beasts' blood that was shed and all the bother that it took. And God was satisfied for a season, for a little while, until he could send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for your sin and my sin. Now here's why Jesus Christ died. He died simply because my blood could not atone for anyone's sin or even my own sin. Neither could your blood atone for it. Could it pay for your sin? Because my blood is tainted by sin, as is yours. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. But you have to avail yourself of it. You have to actually ask for it. If you don't ask for it, you aren't going to have it. And if you ask for it out of simple faith, now you might say, well, how much faith do I have to have? Have you reached the point yet where you want it? That's how much faith you have to have. Do you want it? If you want it, that's all the faith you need. You're ready. Do you want to be forgiven? That's all God's looking for. Do you want it? And you're in simple faith, you right where you are or wherever you are, you tell God, I'm sorry. I need you. I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. That's a good reason to be saved, by the way, you know. I didn't love Christ before I got saved. I didn't love God. I hated God. I hated Christ. I hated every thought of him. But I didn't want to go to hell. I was like a rat. They used to drown rats by putting them in a cage and throwing them in the water. And the rat would struggle. That was me. A rat. Struggling. Clutching at straws. Clutching at anything that would float. That's all God wants. He doesn't care if you're clutching at straws. That won't do you any good. Will you clutch at the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you? That's what he says. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. You clutch at the right thing and it'll save you. And the only thing that'll save you is the Lord Jesus Christ. You clutch at him. That's why he says, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Do you want to be saved? Then you're ready. If you want to be saved, you're ready. Your problems will not go away, but you will have one problem that will never come. You will never die in your sins, and you will never see hell. And it happens all at once. The moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, now you belong to him. You're one of his children. And nobody could take that away from you. The banks can't foreclose on it. The tax man can't tax it. The thief can't steal it. You have it forever. You have him forever. I could tell you some of the blessings that are in the Lord Jesus Christ, and time is almost gone. I love counting those blessings. I love thinking about them. But most of all, I love thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, because I've come to know him. The giver is greater than the gift. Eternal life is a wonderful thing to have. I never got over it. After 40 years or so, I'm still not over it. It's become more precious to me as time has gone on. You go to enough funerals, and you see enough of life, and it becomes more precious, not less. But I've seen the Lord Jesus Christ in his mercy, saving people that have come to him. They've never been turned away. And it's something you have to do for yourself. You want to be saved? Do you want to have eternal life? Do you want to be happy? Not just for a little while. Do you want to have joy? Here's the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness depends upon circumstances, pretty much. It comes and goes. Joy happens regardless of circumstance. It's completely different. They're both wonderful things, but they're completely different. Some of the symptoms are the same, exuberance and so on. You're going to have your ups and downs even after you get saved. But this deep abiding undercurrent of joy is always there, and you can tap into it anytime you want. It's something that's constant. And if you don't have that joy, who moved? You did. God didn't. He's constant. You can tap into it anytime you want. You ever see an unhappy Christian, gloomy Gus, nervous Nelly, whatever? Because they haven't tapped into the joy that was always there. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't change. We change. If you're a Christian and you're away from the Lord, and we get away every day, we do. You know how I know we get away every day? Because we sin every day. The Bible says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not give in to the lusts of the flesh. You won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You see a Christian sinning, it's because he's away from the Lord. Well, how far away? Well, maybe just 5 minutes. He walked off by himself. It doesn't take long. You want to be saved. Do you want to have eternal life instead of eternal death? You think you got problems now if you're not saved? Or even if you are saved? The people in hell have a lot more problems, and there's no end to it. Nobody smiles in hell. They don't even have water to drink. We know that from the Bible. At least now you got water to drink. But the Lord Jesus Christ will give you water, spiritual water, that you'll never thirst again. If you want to be saved, you're ready to be saved. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ in your own mind and in your own heart. You say, Lord, I'm sorry for all my sins. I know that Jesus died for my sins. And you have said, I can come. I can come. You said, though. You said it. There it is. It's in my word. It's in thy word. I can come. I'm coming. Take yet your word. The moment you do that, you are saved. You are. And there's nobody that can say you're not. Even God won't say you're not saved because you took him at his word. And that's how a person gets saved. When they know they're a sinner and they need to be saved and they come to the Lord Jesus Christ as a lost sinner, that's all God wants. You're saved. And that's what God wants you to be. That's why you were made. You were not built to go to hell. No one was. But there are people there today. Now let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful, Father, for all those that are saved. We're thankful, Father, for anyone who's not saved and wants to be saved. We're thankful, Father, that we have a chance to still preach the gospel, that anyone who wants to be saved can be saved, for thou art merciful and kind, and will never turn away anyone from eternal life in thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom we give thee the utmost thanks. Bless, Father, thy word as we've read it out of thy Bible to every heart. For we ask it in the Savior's name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.